In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of his prisoners, but join with us in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. What is there to be ashamed in our Lord Jesus? Did not the prophet Zechariah say that men shall come from every tribe, language, and nation, from the corners of the earth, to take up the garment of him who stands in the midst, saying, "Let us go with you"? What then is there to be ashamed? The leper on Sunday was not ashamed to cry out, "Lord Jesus, have mercy on me," and to receive cleansing of his leprosy. The Gentile centurion was not ashamed to cry out, "Lord, have mercy on my servant who lies home paralyzed, grievously tormented." What then is there to be ashamed of? It is, of course, in those things which the world does not highly treasure, does not highly esteem. It's one thing to cry out, "Lord, have mercy on me and cleanse me," or "heal my servant." But it is a whole other thing entirely, in the eyes of men, to say, "Lord, let me take up my cross and follow you. Let me endure suffering and shame and rebuke for the cause of your name. Let me be mocked and ridiculed. Let me be thrown to prison and even unto death for the sake of your name." Everybody talks a big game. "Lord, I will go with you even unto prison and to death." But when the hour of persecution comes, how many fold up at the sight of so much as a servant girl? "I don't know him. I don't know what you're talking about." Do not be ashamed, St. Paul says. And indeed, he has quite a good reason to say, do not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus or of his servant. Is this not Saul, the man who sought out Christians to murder them? Is this not the man who stood idly by holding the coats of those who stoned St. Stephen? Why then does he now say he wants to come to us? What purpose is there in his coming? Is this a ruse? Should we be silent? Now, of course, St. Timothy is not afraid. This is his father in the faith, his mentor, the one from whom he received his pastoral formation. It would be like for me to greet and to receive Dr. David Scare, maybe with a bit of humility, but not with fear, not with trepidation. But the men of this world do not esteem the things that are of Christ or that Christ bestows upon you in this place. "Why should you spend so much of your time here? Don't you have a life to live?" they would say to you. "What is this water? What is this bread and wine? What are these songs you sing? What is their purpose? Isn't there something better you could be doing? Why do you need to be here?" But this is where Jesus is. This is where Jesus has promised to be for you. That he may forgive your sins, that he may cleanse you of all unrighteousness as though you were covered in leprosy, that he may raise you up from the dead in his word of absolution, in the waters of his holy baptism and by his body and blood, that he may raise you up from death and bring to you new and everlasting life. This is what it means to eat and drink for the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening and preservation of your faith, that you may go outside these walls, that you may go out into this world which hates and despises you and thinks little to nothing of what you do or what you receive here, that you may go unashamed, that you may go unafraid, that you may take up your cross and bear it until such time as the Lord Jesus shall come again and in glory and remove it from your shoulders. Not be ashamed. Paul, even though his sins were well and publicly known, even though his name was quite literally mud to many people, he was not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. This is the one in whom you believe. This is Jesus Christ, the Jew who stands in the midst, beckoning you to take hold of his garments and to follow him. Yes, to follow him in this life means to bear a cross. It means to bear suffering and reproach for his sake. But do you not remember that he is your head and you his body? The body follows where the head leads and where the head directs. You go where he has gone, as he has gone, to where indeed he is now for you. That is to say, you bear your cross in this life for the disciplining of your flesh, for the purifying and purging and strengthening of your faith, that you may cling ever more steadfastly to him in whom you believe, he who was nailed to the cross in your place and for your sake. You bear your cross in this life, following after his crucified footsteps. But he will indeed bring you to death, yes, but he will bring you through death and into resurrection in your own body, like unto his resurrection. If you're afflicted now with sickness or weakness, if you grow tired, if you grow wearied, if you're bothered by whatever it is, conflict that you have in your family or in your life, Jesus stands with you as you take up your cross and bear its burdensome weight. He is with you. He carries it with you. And he will bring you through even this to life everlasting in his kingdom, where ages never end. The world doesn't esteem why we're here, that we're here at all. But it is indeed to learn and to be trained and to be strengthened and to be tried in the standard of sound words, which are not the words of men, which are not the words of your own reason or strength, but they are the very words of God spoken in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, for your sake and for your salvation, even as he has come down from heaven and taken on flesh of your flesh, bone of your bone. So now he speaks his word of forgiveness and life to you here and now. The world doesn't esteem it, but who cares what they think? You know in whom you believe, and you know what he here gives to you. And you know full well that there is nowhere better to be. Do not be ashamed, for you are redeemed by Christ the crucified, reconciled to the Father in heaven through his pierced flesh and his shed blood. In Jesus' name, amen.